are studying Passover, but we've been looking at redemption. And because that's really what Passover was about redeeming Israel. And they had to be redeemed first from the world, and then later, when Zerubbabel's temple was built, they had to be redeemed from Babylon. Yesterday, let's go there. Go to Ezra. Chapter 1 of Ezra. I'm going to try to integrate, as we study the Passover, I want to try to integrate what was going on in Egypt, and then what was going on in Babylon hundreds of years later. So,
okay. Where are we going again?
Ezra, chapter 1. Ezra, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, First Samuel, First Kings, First Second Kings, First Second Chronicles, Ezra.
Table of contents helps.
We're gonna have to do those Bible drills. What do they call them?
Sword drills.
Sword drills. Yeah, we're gonna have to do the sword drills.
Yeah, perhaps you'd win.
Huh?
You'd win.
I can't do it, because I wouldn't be the guy that had to. I would be ineligible.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
What?
You're right. Wouldn't be fair.
Why?
Because you're so good at it.
Ezra, chapter 1. Now we're at, instead of about 1500 BC, now we're at 538, 540 BC. So it's over 1,000 years later when we're dealing with Babylon. What?
Well, what kind of calendar they use? They didn't count backwards then.
Their calendar was based on a whole different universe. First of all, the Jews had a lunar calendar. They're the only people that had a lunar calendar.
Well, we've taken the whole gamut of time and reduced it.
Well, of course, they didn't have that, because they didn't have, their starting point was different. Their starting point was when they assumed. Well, I don't want to go into all that. Let's go to Ezra. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, again, he was king of Persia, but remember, he was king over all the world, all the known world at that time. I mean, known by any of the Western societies. There were all kinds of kingdoms around the world, but when they say the known world, that was known to that Mediterranean area. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation and throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his peoples? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with their beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." And then it goes on. I encourage you to read it, but thus started the Exodus from Babylon. Now let's go look what happened about 18 years later. Go to Haggai.
Haggai
Haggai and Zechariah were all written about the same time. Haggai is, he really comes down on what was going on, so let's pay attention to what's being said here, because it has so much, it has so much to do with us. It's not, this isn't history. Verse 1, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius, the king, and the Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, This is not, this the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, which I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now, we're going to read it. Stop a minute, but I want to talk about this a minute. When they got to Jerusalem, the only thing that was there was a cornerstone and an altar, but it was in disrepair. And so they had to, they started work as soon as they got back, because all everything was supplied them. But then slowly but surely, they began to be concerned with their own lives. And so they built themselves the houses, and began to be concerned with their own future and their own careers, and they left the house lying waste. Now that was a natural occurrence, but spiritually, each one of us are called to be a part of that house in this parable. And we are called, that's what all of discipleship is about, that you would become a stone in the new temple of the new Jerusalem. But you can't do both. You can't, well, let's read it. In verse 9, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the land of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, really, that's Yeshua, so that's Jesus in this type. Then Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, in the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. And then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Now, you understand, normally when people talk about the temple and in Israel, they say there's two temples. There was the temple of Solomon and the temple of Herod. But there's a temple in the middle, and it's the temple of Zerubbabel. Now this is what this book and what the whole because the people that had left Egypt, but now instead of staying, well, and then they were scattered because of, they were taken captive, I should say. Found favor where they were taken captive, and the biggest part of the Jewish population didn't heed this call. They stayed in Babylon, and even the scholars, many of the scholars stayed there. That's why there are two Talmuds. Everybody remember what the Talmud is? It's supposed to be by oral tradition, by tradition. It's not the Torah is the written word that Moses received, but the Talmud is the working out of that over the years, and 60 jillion arguments between the rabbis about the minutiae. There's a lot of good stuff in it. I found 161 references to Jesus in the Talmud. It's not a difficult task to find that. But anyway, so there's a Jerusalem Talmud, and there's a Babylonian Talmud. And the Babylonian Talmud is about 100 times better than the Jerusalem Talmud, and you'd think it would be the opposite. But the scholars that really understood were in Babylon. They didn't necessarily heed the call of God to go back. So only the poor went back. Now they got poor. They were poor, and they came back because Cyrus paid all their expenses and encouraged everyone that they would find favor with everyone. And then what happened? Well,
they dropped the ball.
They had compassion fatigue, or they lost their zeal. And every man went unto his own house. In other words, his own house became more important than the Lord's house. Now, this is why this is so critical. Because now even the Christianity is teaching not about this building of the new temple by the bodies of the believers. They talk about how you can be successful in your sealed house. You understand what I'm saying?
Preaching separation.
Success in the name of God.
And what happens is, it's, you know what happens. So anyway, let's go on in Haggai. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I coveted, that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear me, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, and the Lord, saith the Lord of hosts, the glory of the latter house shall be greater. Now it says this, but it's in italics, but in Hebrew it's ha. It should be the, because it's a prophetic statement. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now what does he say? The glory of the house that they built, Zerubbabel's, didn't compare to the glory of the first house of Solomon.
Yeah.
But the glory of the latter house will exceed all in glory, because the latter house was Jesus Christ. And the temple was just a type of him. And every work in the temple was a type of him. And inside that temple, every work is revealed in each of our bodies. The place of the offering, the stomach, the and all the other things that go on are all within you. And all, remember what the Babylon, the god of Babylon, Bel. When the sackbut sounded, everybody had to fall down. Except the only ones that we know of that didn't are the three young men. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, can you understand what it was like? Just put yourself in the position of those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Everybody in all of the kingdoms was bowing down to this idol. Every time a particular sound was heard. Now, the only thing that would cause everybody in a nation or in a kingdom to fall down, that everybody is subject to, is cause and effect. That's why that god of Bel, he was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and it couldn't stand. And what I believe is they made the base of it so that it would stand out of the materials that they pirated from the temple. And that's a parable, because as soon as you put the places, the function of the temple back in order within you, or as soon as it happens, then you are no longer, then the god of Bel, cause and effect, will fall. And this is why he says, come out of her, my people, come out of her, touch not the unclean thing. That's the that's spoken over and over in the New Testament. And that coming out of her is the second, is the Exodus from Babylon, which isn't taught. I can find no references to it, that it's cause and effect. But I know that's what it is. Greatest enemy of faith and mercy and grace in the world is cause and effect. Because if you know how to do something, you don't need faith. Amen?
Amen.
So, the whole purpose of the preaching of the cross is so that every part of that mystery of the temple is put back in order within you. So no thought can originate except from the blood of the altar.
Yeah.
every speech of your mouth and of your mind, every word is seasoned with salt. And every thought, every word only comes from the oracle of God under the wings of the cherubim. Because you put everything back in its place by repentance. But the worst thing that you can do is to justify in anything that is an abandonment of self. Amen? Can you understand the need here for the two Passovers? It isn't ever stated, but it's implicit. It's tautological, to use Gary's favorite word.
In other words, Haggai, after 18 years, there was another Passover. Is that what you're saying? That's implicit?
No, this is not about Haggai. This is just, I'm not studying. That whole rant I just did wasn't about Haggai.
I know that, but I mean, what about, you just said, can you understand why there is a need for two Passovers?
Well, because you got to come out of Babylon. You got to come out of cause and effect.
Yeah.
Let's look at that real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. We got to finish Haggai tomorrow. Verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is abjoined to a harlot is one body, for the two, he saith, shall be one flesh? But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, saith, which are God's. Now, what is fornication? If you believe Hosea, if you believe the Bible, fornication isn't just talking about sex. Fornication is talking about going somewhere other than God for your wine, your corn, and your oil. In other words, your basic needs, if you're going then somewhere else for your basic needs and then everything else implicit follows. If you're going anywhere else for your basic needs, then spiritually you're committing fornication. And the way you commit fornication is by the vehicle of cause and effect. Is this gel?
Yeah, you're just looking for satisfaction.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Well, just even the very sustenance. Remember, what is food? Food is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. We need both. Now, all we have done has been led by our bellies. We've been led by our appetites. Now we are exhorted to make, every time we eat that food, is to see it as our death in his life. Every time we drink that blood, any liquid, we see it as the real worth. And so we transform eating and drinking into the, not in the Catholic way, but into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, in him alone, do we have satisfaction and sustenance and worth. And And everything else takes care of itself after that. But that's why eating and drinking are so critical in the life of the body, but they're also the instrument of fornication, of spiritual fornication. Your belly is the instrument of spiritual fornication, being led by your appetites, whose glory is in your shame, for you mind or give breath to earthly things. Am I just mouthing here? Does anybody understand me? All right, chapter 6. In verse 14, 2 Corinthians. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them. Do a scripture search and come out and see how many times we're told to come out. Come out of what? Passover, we celebrate the coming out of the world, out of Egypt. But we must also simultaneously come out of Babylon. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I didn't understand it too much.
Huh?
I didn't understand what kind of where you were going on the, until you talked with Pete about the two Passovers and the coming out of Babylon, which is not celebrated that I know of.
That's why I'm trying to get it to be the same simultaneously with this one. There's all this Passover, you should have come out of both of them. It was only because of rebellion that they were taken captive and brought to Babylon.
Wasn't one of the either Josiah or Hezekiah, I can't remember which one. One of them was after they came out.
No, both of them were in Israel.
It was after they came out of Babylon, right?
I don't remember.
All right.
But the point of it, what I'm trying to get us to see. Is I want this Passover to be coming out of both the world and Babylon. What?
Well, pardon my phrase, but is this something you've just seen and not making up, but you pulled it out and...
No, I've known it for many, many years.
But there are not two Passovers, are there? There's one Passover. But in that one Passover, you are coming out of both if you are made aware of it, if you see it. If it's,
that's right.
Yeah.
And we just haven't, I haven't talked about it at this time. This is why, this is the main reason that I was going to stay in California and tell the attorneys that I couldn't make it back for the deposition for health reasons. But it was just heavy on me that we had to use this time to really, really delve into the mystery of the Passover. And what I'm saying, I'm celebrating now for the first time, if we understand it, that you can come out of both Egypt and Babylon. That should be the real celebration of Passover. The only reason they ended up in Babylon is because of their rebellion. So the only reason, and all of us are guilty of that rebellion, the same as they were. So let's celebrate the Passover coming out of both of them. both the world and the world of cause and effect. Fundamentally, the world is survival of the fittest, and Babylon is the world of cause and effect. That's just a very, you know, simplistic
yeah.
look at it. It was a survival of the fittest, then I found out I wasn't fit. Then I found out cause and effect is the biggest enemy of faith there is. It was natural that that's Babylon. That's where the whore sitteth. We don't need to go back and read that whore chapter in Revelation 17, do we? She's sitting on the mountains of all the people of the world, the high places. Decked in gold, purple. Golden cup in her hand. Everything you want is considered abomination and filth in the mind of God.
What is this?
What?
What a creation that God and you put this all together.
Anyway, at least understand a little bit.
Yeah.
Mr. Bojo? Mrs. Bojo?
Please call us John again.
No, I can't call. See, I never. It's just John and Carolyn. Take it, big guy quickly.